Menards is your electrical headquarters. We carry all the tools and testers you need for any electrical job. Stack up your toolbox with Southwire electrical products today. Right now, save big money on Southwire electrical tools, testers, cable ties, wire, and cable. Shop our huge selection in store at Menards. Ranked number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save big money at Menards.
Hey, 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 folks, we are back. It's Mike Agovino with my pal, Woody Overton.
What's up, y'all? Glad to be back.
And this is The Wow, the Woody Overton Window, and this is your episode for Friday, June 28th.
Right.
Which means, sorry.
June's almost over, but, you know, real quick, I'm going to throw out to everybody that's given us such a positive response on the WOW, and we hope to continue to deliver the shit that y'all are liking.
Well, I got a request for a permanent segment on Woody Does Gossip, so that's
okay. All right,
I think we're locked in on Woody Does Gossip as a segment, Woody. So you're gonna have to brush up, man, on your Hollywood.
The guy that's like my second dad, Mr. Wayne, his daughter is a huge lifer. And he was telling me yesterday about how they had been praying for me and everything else. So I just want to shout out to all the lifers. We love y'all and appreciate you so much. But hey, Renee Joyal, J-A-O-Y-A-L, thank you so much. And look, Jake Donaldson, if y'all could see the video, sent me a Shiner Bock t-shirt. All the Shadowbox shit I own, this is the first t-shirt I ever had. That was pretty cool.
That's a sweet tee. I need one of those, yeah, by the way. That is nice.
So much shit, and I'm the world's worst about not posting it. So everybody that sends me stuff, I appreciate it so much. Leah sent my son a shirt that says Lil Woody on it. I just got it in yesterday, too. So thank y'all all, and thank you tuning in and listening and liking and sharing, and let's keep it rolling.
We're all sponsored up. I forgot. I got my Roy Kristen t-shirt on this morning. I got my Paris Forensics t-shirt.
We were joking about them. My mother-in-law, I probably should say this, but she's a prankster, and when she gets buried, she wants to put a voice recorder in the casket, and when it's closed casket, she wants them to say, let me out. And I said, Roy and Kristen will probably do that for you right in the middle of service, have it time to go off. Let me out. We're talking about Paris Forensics, naturally.
Some people would be fainting. My son confessed to me like a month ago that at my father's funeral, which was an open casket service. So at the wake, he had gum in his mouth. And he turned to my 90-year-old aunt and asked her what he should do with his gum. And she told him to put it on my father.
Oh, my God. Did he do it?
Yeah, he did it. He did it. I can't believe she told him to do that. And that's a no-no. The voice recording would be really, right, really good, though. So,
yeah, well, Paris Forensics for all your needs, and the Louisiana Pet Crematory underneath the giant American flag in Broussard, and we love them.
Yes, they are.
We got a lot of good shit today, right?
We do. There's a lot going on, man. There's so much going on. The Supreme Court is getting ready to take their summer break. They're coming out with a bunch of decisions on a variety of things. And yesterday afternoon, one came down that really has me scratching my head. I imagine a lot of people in the state of Louisiana scratching their head. Governor Landry, I'm sure, scratching his head. And I wanted to cover it with you guys. I know, Woody, you and Jim spent some time on it on Bloody Angola.
Right.
And I think we talked about it in the very beginning on The Daily Show. And so it's gotten a lot of noise. And frankly, when the case was first filed and we found out it was going to the big court, I thought for sure the court was going to vote in favor. You know, you get a 6-3, Republican to Democrat court. They tend to be First Amendment defenders, First Amendment absolutists. But the court came down with a ruling that surprised a lot of people here. Not necessarily that that they rejected the case, but the manner in which they rejected the case. So let me go through a little bit of this. Right. So the Supreme Court handed down its decision yesterday. This is the Murthy versus Missouri case, which is about government censorship. So what inspired this case was the censorship across social media platforms during COVID, during the 2020 election process. So the plaintiffs in the case were both the state of Louisiana, the attorneys general of the state of Louisiana and the state of Missouri, and specific doctors like Dr. Jay Bhattacharya of Stanford, who has been very visible throughout COVID and afterward, and Dr. Mark Kulldorff of Harvard, you know, both of whom were very skeptical about the vaccines, were very skeptical and had questions about origins of the virus, et cetera, and had much of what they were attempting to publish either shadow banned or censored altogether, depending on the platform. And so that was basically the group of plaintiffs, doctors, plus those two states. And so here's how it went with the Supreme Court. The decision basically punts internet censorship. It sends free speech advocates back to the drawing board, and it had the White House celebrating yesterday afternoon. The Supreme Court's decision, according to Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, quote, helps ensure the Biden administration can continue our important work with technology companies to protect the safety and security of the American people. That important work, of course, includes White House officials sending emails to companies like Facebook with notes saying things like, wanted to flag the below post, and I'm wondering if we can get moving on having it removed ASAP, which was an actual communication from a White House official to Facebook during the COVID pandemic. So the Supreme Court actually sidestepped ruling on the constitutionality of this kind of behavior in the case. Instead, they stated that, quote, neither the individual nor the state plaintiffs have established Article III standing to seek an injunction against any defendant. Now, that's a lot of words there. Woody, do you want to take on Article III standing? You want me to go through that?
You can go ahead and go through it. I have some thoughts about it already, but I'll save it for the end.
Okay, so basically to have standing or Article III standing, plaintiffs have got to prove that they have a genuine stake in the outcome of a case, meaning they, one, suffered a concrete injury or damages, two, that injury or damages is traceable to the allegedly unlawful actions of, in this case, the government, and three, that the injury is redressable or fixable by a favorable decision coming out of the court. And so what they've done with this is they've not said we're finding that that this is constitutional, the behavior of the government. What they're finding is that the plaintiffs don't have the standing to bring the suit. Therefore, they're sidestepping this thing. They're not offering an official judgment, and in sort of abdicating the opportunity to do that, the default is the government is right back at it with the DOJ, Department of Homeland Security, FBI, all of these different government departments being able to interface directly with social media companies and make requests of those companies to have specific material taken down they believe to be disinformation.
This is kind of shit the revolution was started behind. I mean, that to me, it's a step towards that direction. Fuck the government. I mean, I'm certainly a United States citizen through and through, but I don't believe big government should be able to come in. Now, it'd be different if they were doing posts about blowing up federal buildings or some shit, something that's illegal. But who is to say the federal government could come in and say, you can't do a post about this, or you can't do it unless it's illegal, right? I just, it's fucking bullshit.
Well, and the thing about it is the ruling comes in the wake of knowing that the government specifically censored information that was accurate.
Yeah.
At a time when the government was advancing information that was inaccurate.
Yeah.
And so with that backdrop, knowing that that they got it wrong on a lot of stuff, and people that got it right were censored, and the public was prevented from hearing, seeing those opinions.
You know, even at the very least, they should have let it stay up until they could prove one way or another, right? That it was accurate or inaccurate. But yeah, it sounds like they were just, we don't even want you putting this shit out there. We want to push our narrative. And so fuck yours. We're the government.
I think that's basically the message. And in their sort of defense, what they said is their investigation into the different platforms showed that only about half of the time, only about 50% of the time, did that platform follow through on the government's requests. So different departments are making different requests all the time, and not every one of those, in fact, about one out of every two of those were actually followed through on by the platform. So, so that was their sort of defense in taking the position. And so, you know, you now have a situation going into the fall and moving forward until something else can change in this, where you're going to have censorship, and you're going to have Big Brother. And look, right now that might be one administration. A year from now it might be another administration, and you know, Big Brother, whether it's Big Brother from the left or Big Brother from the right, if you're a free speech absolutist or strong advocate, you want to see opinions from all sides. Yeah. Again, I agree with you totally that you don't want people inciting revolution or hate or,
well,
you know, planning attacks or things like that. But I think stuff like that, you know, stands out on its own. I mean, I don't think that's hard to see and hard to define as stuff that shouldn't be there, as opposed to, you know, well-respected doctors offering medical opinions about different drugs or different treatments. I mean, I just think that's a different animal. So,
yeah, well, it's like, I used to get put in like Facebook jail every week, I mean, like every 3 days or some shit. And I'm thinking, you know what, if I didn't have, you know, such a huge following on there on seven different pages or whatever, I'd tell them to go fuck themselves. That's one of the reasons we started the app, Real Life Real Crime Community app. But that's just, you know, a microcosm, if you will, of the federal government doing it, right? And the federal government's doing on what, you know, or they, most people will obey. And like, they'll send it to whomever and be like, oh, take this down. They're like, fuck, if we don't take it down, we're going to get in trouble. Even though, yeah, the government may not ever follow through on it. And so they're going to want to obey and go on. But I do not agree with it. And too many people died, our soldiers died, so that we could have the freedom of speech. Now, again, not inciting violence or hatred or whatever, but people's opinions, I mean, this is America.
Yeah, and you had a lot of people thrown out of the military. A lot of people lost jobs in the private sector because they weren't willing to take the vaccine. And the data that's come out since, you know, certainly supports the thought that there was no need to force young people to be taking the vaccine, and really, you know, healthy people below a certain age to have been taking it. And certainly our military tend to be younger people in very good physical condition.
Yeah. However you feel about it, you know, anti-vaccine or vaccine, whatever, pro-vaccine. I remember when it first came out, my mom and daddy were so scared. My daddy specifically, we got him, I think, like the seventh shot in the state of Louisiana, a lifer out of a pharmacy. They got like one of the first orders, and I'd done a post about it online. And we were like, literally, he was like the seventh person in the state of Louisiana to get this, the vaccine. And then of course he had the updates and the third one or the fourth one, because whatever age group he was in, he was able to get whatever. And fucking still caught COVID. He still caught COVID and was in bed for 2 weeks. And then, I'm be honest with you, I've had all the shots because we were traveling back and forth to Belize. You couldn't get in the country without proof of the vaccine. And guess what? I've had it like three times. You know, so whatever. At a time, I think it was an opiate for the masses and however you feel about it. Now, look, I lost a lot of good friends. I gave my first eulogy during COVID to one of my friends that died, Leon Winstead. My mentor died from it. Like, literally, they were in a hospital. They had Mr. Kearney really did. He was just elderly, but like Leon had COPD and shit like that. Tested positive for COVID and they died from it. But not saying it's right or wrong. It could have been wonderful, but they didn't know. They just pushing out something that's an opiate for the masses to try to calm the shit down, get the markets back to whatever and people back to work. And it is what it is.
Well, yeah. And look, it's certainly saved a number of lives, particularly situations like your father's. The elderly, the elderly folks were the most vulnerable, along with those people that the obese, the elderly, people with other pre-existing conditions. But they now know, in the wake of all of this, and Fauci and his testimony, and others, that this thing should have been handled in an entirely different way than it was handled. And the fact that this ends up where it ends up with the Supreme Court, which gives them carte blanche really to do it all over again, if there's another situation like that or something else they deem to be that kind of a threat, they can just go right back to the drawing board and do it again, at least for now. Until something maybe changes. So that was the big news of yesterday. Of course, we're still waiting for them to issue a ruling in the presidential immunity case. I wouldn't think that they're gonna come down on the side of supporting presidential immunity. There's just holes in that thing.
Only people that are making money in this whole situation are the fucking lawyers. Right. Biden this and, filing shit and whatever.
Pharmaceutical companies making a few bucks.
Too. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the lawyers are making more than all of them. We'll fight this. Yeah. And look, obviously I come from a lineage of lawyers and have hundreds of good, great lawyer friends, but fuck them. Lawyers are lawyers, right?
Well, so. Moving on. We are here recording on Thursday morning. You're listening to this sometime after midnight, and that means the presidential debate is over by the time you are listening to us. But for us, this is happening 8 or 10 hours before the debate actually happens. So there's a bunch of sites. You can't do this on domestic sites, but the overseas sites allow you to place bets on the debate. A bunch of prop bets, like they do for the Super Bowl and the Academy Awards, et cetera. So I wanted to go through a couple of those, but I also wanted to just give you some of our thoughts going into this thing. So one thing that really caught my eye, Woody, was some of the comments that Trump made regarding his rationale for accepting the terms of the debate, which probably you're all aware of them, but we'll go through the main ones in a second. But Trump's rationale for why he accepted the terms, you tell me what you think of his of the way he positioned him accepting the term. So if you haven't heard the terms of this, there's two CNN hosts that are going to moderate, Jake Tapper and Dana Bash. There's no live audience in the building. There are the mics they're using are special mics that are muted when it is not that candidate's turn to speak. So there will be no interrupting the other candidate when they are speaking. You can only be heard when your mic is greenlit. And also they are holding strictly to the time allocation they give a candidate to answer. So if you're told you have 60 seconds to answer, at the 60 second mark, the green light's going to go off and your mic is going to go dead. You cannot bring notes into the debate with you. You can take notes as you're going along in the debate, but you're not bringing any information in with you. The debate will last a total of 90 minutes, but will have two commercial breaks in it. So most people look at that set of rules and say, well, number one, okay, you've got two CNN hosts, each of which over time have been highly supportive of Biden and highly critical of Trump. So that doesn't set up nearly as well as if it was a one-on-one sort of setup there. Right. Trump is somebody who, you know, really seems to feed off of a live audience. He's kind of like a stand-up act. The audience gets him going and winds him up, and that seems to fuel him. Well, there's going to be no noise in the building at all. Trump's been sort of a master of these quick one-liners, and with the mics being muted, he's not going to have the ability to do that. We know that endurance has been an issue for Biden, and so the creation of these commercial breaks, which basically are rest times within a 90-minute debate, would appear to be in his interest much more than Trump's.
They'll be shooting him up with more meth on each one of those commercial breaks to keep him cognizant.
Well, I don't know about the meth, but I joke that as soon as the cameras go off and they go to commercial, that a pit crew is going to come running out of the side, like a NASCAR come running up to the podium and start doing a lot of work there. But Trump said that the debate was happening because of, quote, failed gamesmanship on the part of the Biden campaign. What they did is they approached me with a debate that I couldn't take, Trump said. He then outlined why it was a debate he couldn't take. CNN, the anchors, no audience, the muted mics, etc. And he said they knew I wouldn't accept that. He then articulated his theory that they only presented this one-sided slate of rules because they didn't really want a debate, and they knew that Trump wouldn't accept it if they threw out those terms. So Trump, quote, outsmarted them by accepting their unfair one-sided state of rules. Okay, so Woody, I'm scratching my head on this one. Let's say Jim Chapman and I are going to have a fight, and we've reached a breaking point, and the only way to settle our differences is we're going to do battle. And let's say knowing that Jim is 15 years younger, a heck of a lot stronger, he knows jujitsu, he knows like UFC shit and stuff, he shoots guns accurately, he can handle a bow and arrow. I propose that our battle is a matchup of a full round of Jeopardy. That's how we're going to settle our differences.
Right.
Would Jim be outsmarting me if he accepted those as the terms of our battle? Doesn't that give me a much better chance of winning?
Well, you know what? I mean, yeah, but the thing is, I actually think this is a genius play on Trump's part, because if he doesn't whip Biden's ass, he can always come back and say it was rigged, and I had to accept it because I wanted to get my voice out to the American people. But you see, they cut me off every time I started to say something. They cut me off, and it's two CNN anchors. They were against me to begin with. Nobody's in the building, and he said, "But I did this because I love the people, and I wanted to get my message out there, et cetera." So I fully expect he's going to smoke Biden like a pack of cools, but if he doesn't, he has a fallback. He gets to say it was rigged. So, and you know what? These fucking debates aren't going to change anybody's opinion. You either for Biden or you're for Trump. And that's just the way that it is. There's nothing that can be really gained by this debate and by either side, in my opinion, because one of them's going to fuck something up.
If I was
there, people, I wouldn't let them on stage. Yeah.
Unless something really, really goes wrong for either one of them. I mean, if
yeah, like if Biden, like Biden forgets his name,
if Biden or collapses Trump, on the way to the podium, yeah. or something,
or Trump knocks out Biden, crazy. Trump punches Biden in the face or something like that, right?
But, all right. Well, here are some of the potential bets. I want to get your take on this. So, one, will the candidates shake hands prior to the debate?
Absolutely.
I'm going to say
I don't know if Biden will. I know Trump will. Yeah. I'm going to say that Trump will at least be statesman enough alike to offer his hand. I don't see Biden turning that down, but maybe he will.
Okay, so what is a yes? I'm a no on that one. Okay, which of these words, phrases will Trump say? And then which one do you think he'll say the most? Fake All news, right. Southern border.
Oh, yeah.
Rigged. Russia, and dementia. Which is there any of those words that don't come out of his mouth?
I believe all of them are going to come out except maybe dementia, because he doesn't want to really offend people. I think he might call it by a different phrase or imply it a different way. But I believe all of them are going to come out to a certain extent. But fake news, southern border, rigged, Russia. I don't know if it's going to be Russia, but he's definitely going to talk about Russia and how they wouldn't be in the war if he was, which was proven before, but how they wouldn't be in a war if he was in office. Dementia, I think that's a little sensitive even for Trump, unless he gets pissed. But then they're going to cut his mic off. So that, again, that could be to his advantage.
Okay, I'm very much with you. I don't think Trump will use the word dementia. He'll right. say something else. He'll make fun of. He'll call him a Roomba or whatever, right. something like yeah. that. But I think if there's one thing he'll mention more than any other, it's funny. I didn't put an economic term there, but I think he'll refer to the southern border more than any other thing. I think
it's gonna be. Southern border is going to be huge and the wall is going to be huge. And I mean, obviously, but I think the fake news is going to be right there with them. Yeah. Well, however he phrases it. But we'll see.
Well, you might be right, because he may at a point become frustrated that the questions are coming from the CNN anchors are softballs toward Biden and, right. An attacking of him. So I could see him going after them for that. Okay. So let's flip it around the other way. Which of these words, phrases will Biden say? Will he say threat to democracy, abortion, convicted felon, insurrection, and COVID? Are there any of those that he doesn't mention?
I think he says convicted felon. I think he says insurrection because of January 6th. I think he's, says COVID because whatever Trump said about like drink some fucking liquid Drano or some shit in the beginning, whatever it was. Threat to democracy. I think he should say some phrase that threat to the U.S. way of life. And I don't know if he's going to touch on abortion or not. I mean, I'm sure Trump's going to touch on it. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see.
I think the only one he might not touch on is COVID, because his record is every bit as bad and worse than Trump's on COVID. And so he's probably not going to go there on that one. He's definitely going to go the threat to democracy, insurrection, yeah. Gen 6 road with Trump. And also abortion is the issue that he has the largest perceptual lead over Trump with. So I think he's gonna pound that. I saw this morning that the Democratic National Committee had purchased 5 billboards around Atlanta, all with the Trump mugshot and some language around convicted felon, welcoming the convicted felon to Atlanta. Yeah, they think that resonates.
Well, you could tell I don't follow the national news anymore unless it's crime stories that we report on. For this reason, So I wasn't aware of that. But on the COVID part, I would think he's going to talk about it because, you know, he's say how we're bringing the economy back since COVID or whatever. But I don't follow it because I think it's a bunch of bullshit anyway, to be honest with you. But you know, whoever's going to get president is going to get it. And whoever you back, so you back. But
okay, last one. Will either, both, or neither call the other one a liar?
I could promise you Trump's going to call him a liar. I don't know about Biden.
Oh, Biden's definitely going to call Trump a liar. Yeah, so
it's going to go back and forth. Pants on fire. Yeah.
We generally have pretty different opinions on these things, but we are very much aligned on what this is going to be. It's going to be highly unlikely that it alters much of anything here unless something just really dramatic takes place, like a face plant or Trump just absolutely losing his mind and attacking Jake Tapper or Dana Bash or something.
I'll have to catch the highlights tomorrow, the next day or whatever, because I really don't give a fuck. I don't watch it, to be honest with you. I mean, it's already going to be what it's going to be. I said nothing I can do to change it. So
my efforts at turning Woody Overton into a political correspondent are failing miserably here, folks. Enough of the debate. We'll see what happens. I will be watching the entire thing, unfortunately, unless it's just so bad that I can't take it anymore. But I can't see that.
You'll be watching it. Yeah, you'll probably have your favorite beverage and a steak or something. I bet you can't. I bet you're counting down the minutes until it comes on.
And I make the kids wear a coat and tie for it and sit down and take notes. Yeah. And then we have a family discussion afterward. No, it's not quite funny. Like that. That's you ever funny. Hear of the, you ever hear of the company Jetflix?
Is that ringing a bell at all? I had never heard of this until, I was reading about it yesterday after you sent it to me. This shit is fucking crazy. I wish I had known about it because I could have saved a shit ton of money.
Yeah, can you believe how far along these guys got? So
I bet you most of America doesn't know about this. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they don't. But five guys were convicted by a federal jury in Vegas a couple of days ago for running a large illegal streaming service called Jetflix. The four guys, Christopher Dahlman, Douglas Kirsten, Felipe Garcia, and Jared Jarike, and Peter Huber as well, began operating this subscription service back in 2007, according to the Department of Justice. They would find illegal copies of content online that they would then download to their own servers, and they would ultimately reproduce hundreds of thousands of copyrighted TV episodes and movies, et cetera, without authorization. So they amassed a catalog. Listen to this. This just blows me away. They amassed a catalog larger than the combined catalogs of Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon Prime. So put everything on Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon Prime together, and they had more stuff than those three. The company was making, they were making millions and millions of dollars. So people are finding their way to them. They're opening they're dealing with them just like you would deal with Netflix or Prime.
They would have got my money had I known about it. Because I have all these plus like Paramount and fucking Max, and I have every streaming channel there is.
Yeah. And it really adds up, and they've all ratcheted their prices up a ton over the last year. And so the stuff that you, in your mind, you think you're paying $6.99 for, all of a sudden you see $14.99 come through.
Right.
And, you know, Apple at $18.99. I mean, it definitely adds up.
Like on Hulu, on the live version, which is expensive as fuck, right? And I can't go to my place in Norwood and watch live. They're like, oh, you're not at home. But you can watch streaming shit, but you can't watch live sports or whatever. And then Netflix is supposed to, absolutely. I know Netflix is supposed to start charging you for each member of the household, and then all my kids are on the account and whatever. And, you know, but yeah, Hulu. You paying the $79.99 a month, you can only watch it from your house for the live stuff, not the streaming.
Yeah, they're doing so. So my son lives in one of these setups where you got four kids at school, right? So they right. divvied everything up. And so you had right. one kid had, you know, Apple and Netflix, and another kid mm-hmm. had Prime and Max, and another kid had Hulu and whatever. So they were all sharing each other's stuff, which, you know, you have to, when you think about it, that kind of thing, the sharing of login information is costing these mm-hmm. companies lots and lots of money. So they're trying to crack down, but I don't think they're cracking down within family. I think you're still going to be able to have your family plans, at least yeah. most of them.
Netflix is trying to, they're saying they're going to charge like $1.50 a month per family member or whatever, but you know, until they fix it, fuck them. They're like, I have Fubo for live sports. That's like $99 a month. My buddy has whatever he has. We do log in each other's shit. So, I mean, but that's on them. They need to fix it, right? I mean, I'm not.
Well, that's
I'm
the not stuff. Yeah, that
technically stealing. Yeah. I mean, I could be at his house there. Watching it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so the company made, you know, millions and millions off of these subscriptions. All five of these guys were convicted of conspiracy to commit criminal copyright infringement. But the guy that was the supposed mastermind is this Christopher Dahlman guy. He was also convicted on 3 counts of misdemeanor criminal copyright infringement and 2 counts of money laundering. So he was the one managing all of the money here. And so he's the one that's looking at the big, big time. If he's found guilty, he could be sentenced to as much as 48 years in prison, while the other four would face up to 5 years. There's no date yet for their sentencing.
Real quick. These are federal charges, right? And so when they say 48 years, you're fucked. There's no leeway in sentencing. It's set in the rules. Now, you get so many points to get time shaved off or whatever, like if you're informant or whatever. But the judge has no leeway in sentencing. And there's no probation and parole. They give you 1 day a month of good time. So if you get, what's 48 times 12? Whatever the fuck it is.
80 plus 96, 576.
So you get 576 days off, what, not even 2 years off a 48-year sentence. You're fucked. You go to federal prison. And then you're going to be in there surrounded by murders and serial killers and cross-country rapists and shit. And you're in there for copyright infringement. Yeah, not a place I want to go.
Well, it brought me back to the days of Napster.
Remember that.
Because I spent a good deal of time in the digital audio business with a technology company. And one of the things that we did was we created software to allow publishers to keep track of the music royalties that they owed to artists. Mm-hmm. Because anytime you stream someone's song, you have to pay a performance royalty to that artist or the person who holds the rights to that record. In the case of Napster, because what they were doing, you know, it's called BitTorrent, the technologies, they were actually taking stuff from individuals' computers. So if I had 12 songs, they would take my 12 songs and add them to your 12 songs and add them to another guy's 12 songs. And it built up to this huge library of music available on Napster, but it was all music that ultimately was traceable back to an individual, and that individual mm-hmm. was committing piracy by taking that music and sharing it. So they actually went after individual people, the FBI mm-hmm. knocking on people's doors and arresting them and threatening long sentences for sharing 12, 20, 200 songs on Napster or one of these other sites. In the end, they didn't put anyone away for long. Mostly they did it with fines. But that, you know, going after thousands and thousands of Americans for sharing a little bit of music is much more difficult and hard to defend than going after 4 or 5 individuals who aggregated all of this content clearly owned by the Netflixes and the Hulus and putting them on their servers. And so it's a different kind of copyright infringement.
I used to have a gig, and I did really, really well at it. The where pay-per-view would come on, like whoever's going to fight. It's a big, big pay-per-view deal. Actually, everyone that did the company, the lawyer's office out of Los Angeles would send it to me. But they would send me a list of bar rooms and shit that had actually paid for the event to, you know, get people mm-hmm. in the crowds and et cetera. And for every bar room that I could walk into and take a 60-second video of the fight being on where the bar didn't pay, most of them would bring like their home box or whatever and pay the $100 fee. Well, they're supposed to pay thousands of dollars to pay-per-view to do it in a public establishment. But I would walk in, take a 60-second video, get an ID on order one drink and get an ID on the server and out $750. The next day I would do affidavits, send them in, and they paid me $750 for every one. So me being the entrepreneur that I am, at one point I had like 15 motherfuckers going all across the state of Louisiana, different regions, and making thousands and thousands of dollars a night. But the problem was, once you busted a place once, it wouldn't let you bust it again. So within a year I ran out of the whole state of Louisiana. I had my wife going into bar rooms. I had everybody I knew going, and I'd pay them, you know, a couple $100 and not my wife, but I'd pay my friends, cop friends, a couple $100. And if they hit three a night, that's a good night for them. Right.
Yeah. So, and those bar owners were thinking, God, what a great windfall I got. I can steal the fight and I'm going to pack a couple hundred people tonight.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. They still send me the list and want me to go work for it. I hadn't done it in years and years now, like probably 6 or 7 years. But all those places we busted, the only one of them ever went to depositions. So they settled out of court with the rest of them, and only one of them ever made it that far. So they're just trying to get their money back, I guess.
I remember wondering as a kid and asking my father why during a baseball or a football game, they came on and said, this broadcast is the exclusively owned by Major League Baseball. Any duplication, reproduction, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, as a kid, what is that? Why are they doing that, Dad? And he explained it to me. But if you think about it, you've heard that disclaimer at every sports event that you've ever watched, where they immediately let you know. I don't know how many people you're allowed to have at your quote Super Bowl party before it becomes an illegal exhibition of.
I think it's a when you make money off of it. If you're having let's say you rent a church hall and you charge $20 a person to get in for the Super Bowl and you have a kegger or whatever the fuck, right? Once you're making money off of it, off of their broadcast, that's when they get you. It's just like the every movie you used to see, FBI warning, piracy, da 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 da. It's the same thing. If you're making money off of it, you're charging a fee to get in. That's when they get you. So,
yeah, and even in the digital world with all the technology that's out there, still got to be one of the toughest things to enforce, and it's rampant. I mean, you got a lot of people out there doing it. So,
yep. Well, it's all good and true. Now, I know you like to place a bet or two, right?
I do.
All right, I do too. Do you ever do anything outside of sports betting or go to a casino or anything like that?
I'm not much of a craps guy. I'll play, but really spend more time around a blackjack table.
Just like, okay, so I'm talking about you will go to a casino is what?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we do too, right? And then over the years, you know, not spending the rent money or anything like that, but you know, go to Vegas. A lot of times I was working in Vegas, speaking at conferences, stuff like that. And I would take my wife to the coast of the Beau Rivage. You know, it's close enough. And for the weekend, do a little gambling, a little drinking and all that. Well, you know, let me tell you this story. In Singapore, okay, they had a guy that won $3 million, okay, and at a casino in Singapore, and I believe it was a slot machine. Whatever he was playing, he won $3 million in one hand. It had to be a slot. Let me tell you about it. So this dude wins whatever he wins, and then guess what?
He falls over and has a little too excited. Yeah,
he got too excited, fell over and had a fucking heart attack. And so they got all these videos. Now, one thing about a casino and swim might have been in the high roller suite one night, teabagging slot machines and shit. They never threw him out because he was spending a bunch of money, right? But they got cameras everywhere and they know everything that you're doing. Well, I mean, that's good to stop theft and shit like that. But they had it in Singapore also at this casino. So there's video all over the internet. This guy wins, he falls and has a heart attack. This is at the Marina Bay Sands Casino, Singapore. So they didn't identify the guy, but, they believe he was overly excited and about his big win, right? And as soon as he wins, he falls to the ground and the casino staff and the first of all, your lights and shit are going to be going off. We call it signing a ticket. So the casino staff runs up and then you get first responders and shit. They're working on him. It's on video. They're trying to revive him. And then other people all around are just fucking gambling and having a good time, screaming and hollering. And then, you know, you see it on the video, but it's pretty crazy. But, you know, a bunch of people are saying that the guy didn't actually die. They're saying that he was taken to a hospital where he's recovering and is expected to enjoy his riches. Yeah, but once he gets back healthy, the questions on social media, they were like, did he die? Who fucking knows, right? I got to wondering about this, and as people will, if you win something and let's say you're on a slot machine and you spin it and you die right then and it's still spinning, what happens if you win? Well, turns out that it's a contract. And when you hit that button, until that play is done, whether you win or lose or whatever, you have a contract with the casino that whatever the result is, they have to abide by it, right? Whether they win or you win. And so an attorney actually said this, that they said that you could die before the slot machine stops spinning, your states are still owed the winnings. And as with any other contract, the benefits of that contract go to the state and the state will be distributed according to the will of the deceased. So if this dude's alive or dead, I mean, if he's dead, I guess the peeps are going to get the money, $3 million after taxes. Well, we don't really know. If y'all want to see it, go to I think it was casino.org. You can watch it. Casino.org was the first outlet to claim the guy was still alive, but we can't confirm it either way, y'all. But anyway, I just thought it was interesting.
When you shared it, I started snooping around. I probably went 60 sources deep and there were 50 plus saying he was dead and somewhere between 5 and 10 saying he was alive. So I don't know if he's dead or alive, but if he is dead, the good news is that that whomever is from his will supposed to inherit his money is going to get that $3 million in winnings.
Right.
If he's still alive, he and his wife, and his wife was there. She's screaming, she's wailing on the the video. You can hear her. So
Probably with joy.
Like, Hercules. I did see her blowing one of those party streamers. No.
Let me interrupt you real quick. So I'm not going to tell you where I'm going to go this weekend, but yeah, we had a rough couple of months and I think Cindy and I might actually go to a casino this weekend and play a little bit. But if I go down, and I'm not a big craps player. I like to do it every once in a while. But if I go win $3 million or $10 million or $1 million and I go down and I die and I have a heart attack, I need you to call Roy and Kristen and Kristen and before they declare me dead. Right. So what I'll do is I have Cindy put you on speed dial. And if I go down, you go hurry up and call Roy and Kristen and Kristen. And you know what the problem with it is? Once they start working on you, people don't realize this. once they start working on you, they cannot stop working on you until you get to a hospital and you're declared legally dead by a doctor. So you hear about all these cop stories where, you never really hear it about the bad guy. They'd be like, fuck him, he's deceased on scene, because they'll start working on him, right? But if the cop gets shot, he could have 20 bullet holes in him. They're going to try to do something, and then they say he was pronounced dead at the hospital. That's why you almost never hear of a cop getting pronounced dead on the scene. So, but anyway, call Roy and Kristen, me.
What do you have my word that if that would happen, then I would absolutely do that. And actually, all of you casino lovers out there listening, make sure that you, your family and friends know that if you take a dive and toss your chips in the air for the last time, you need to get a hold of our friends in Broussard as well. Because you know the deal, whether it's family, friend, fur baby or critter, if they are yours and they are gone and you want them to receive red carpet treatment and the care that they deserve, go see our friends Roy, Kristen, and Kristen at Louisiana Funeral Services and Louisiana Pet Crematory.
Hey, and don't forget, you can drive to Broussard and find them underneath that humongous American flag, or go to the websites. It's LouisianaFuneralServices.com and Louisiana Pet or LA Pet Crematory.com. So it's LAFuneralServices.com and LAPetCrematory.com, and let them know that we sent you.
Rest easy.
Right? Can't miss them. Best people in the world.
That flag has become humongous now. Didn't we just say, we used to say giant or large?
Giant.
I think we started large, said giant. We went to giant, and now we're humongous.
Shit, we saw it. That's a big ass fucking flag, right?
It is, but Roy may have to step up the flag even bigger now that we're calling it humongous. I mean,
he's going to get bigger flag pole. That thing is huge. And it was so cool when we were there that day, and they have the electronic billboard also in color, and they have both our logos, right? So yeah, the good people, y'all.
It was totally awesome. My only disappointment was not getting Jim to throw up that day. I was counting on
that day, but that was a good day. But I think y'all both handled it well.
So Woody, you and I are both fans of Taylor Sheridan shows, and we both have talked a little bit about the series Mayor of Kingstown.
Watching it right now.
Yeah, it's on. It just started up again with the actor Jeremy Renner. And I noticed that Men's Health magazine had Renner on the cover this month. And if you haven't heard, Renner went through an unbelievable accident in early 2023 that the magazine covered in details, and wanted to share a little bit of that with you. But if you haven't seen this series, this is season 3, and Woody, just curious your take on the show, since it's it covers a world that you know quite a bit about.
I love it, man. I love it because not only does it have the prison side, it has the street side. And I can't say that there's probably anybody's full-time fixer like he is, being the mayor of Kingstown, going in between the cops and the prisoners and all that. But some of that does go on, and that's just the truth. But I actually like it. I think I'm called up on season 3. I think it comes out on Sunday nights, and so I'll be watching again this Sunday night. Really, really good show. I like it a lot.
Well, and Renner's great in it, but I thought the show would never have a season 3, and I thought Renner would probably never act again when this accident happened on New Year's Day in 2023. And he was he saved his nephew's life. So a snowplow, a big ass snowplow was, they were in Reno, Nevada, and there must have been a huge snowstorm because the snow banks were just backed up, piled up really, really high. And somehow his nephew was right in front of the snowplow that was moving at a good clip. And the guy in the snowplow couldn't see his nephew, and Renner could tell he couldn't see him from where he was. He pushed his nephew out of the way, but unfortunately he couldn't get out of the way in time. And so this, the story Men's Health tells about this is, man, it's pretty crazy. So Renner said that the plow has four sections of tires with these metal tracks that undulate, that, you know, it works like a tank. It kind of pulls along
just
like
a tank. Yeah.
And he remembers hearing his head crack when the thing ran over his head and was pressing on him. And that in that moment, he's, you know, sort of instantaneously, what is my skull going to just completely get crushed in? Right. It doesn't. It ends up the force of all of this breaks both of his orbital bones. So it's squeezing his head so hard that his orbitals break and his cheekbones break as well. And his left eye pops all the way out of the socket to the point that he can see his left eye with his right eye.
That's crazy.
He said that the first thing that occurred to him was that he had to keep breathing, but that breathing was really, really hard. And we find out later why breathing was really, really hard, which I'll tell you about in a minute. But that he just kept saying to himself, I just have to keep breathing until help comes. And he could tell his heart rate was getting lower and lower. But he said with the exhaustion, there was almost peace. Then the EMTs arrived and I thought, you know, I just got to surrender to them and let them do what they can do. And so he goes through what it took in his hospitalization. He had a total of 38 broken bones, including a bunch of ribs, knee, ankles, pelvis, all of those face bones and hand bones. Plus he had a collapsed lung, a pierced liver, and a major laceration in his head. So he said it would take 17 minutes for him to get out of bed in the hospital in that first month. And that, you know, he was happy sometimes just to be able to sit up and push himself into a chair. And so that happened in January of 2023. We're sitting here in June of 24, watching a series that the earliest they could have been, I mean, the latest they could have been shooting is, you know, early in 2024, but I think they may have even shot late in 2023. So less than a year after this happened, which was that snowplow weighed 14,300 pounds that rolled over his head. The guy is back out there acting. It's crazy.
I didn't have any idea, man. Now I got to go back and every time I watch now, I'm going to be looking at him thinking what a fucking stud this dude is, right? The 38 broken bones, the time in the hospital and which is the worst fucking time in the world. And he was in there for like a month and something. Yeah. He beast, man. And he saved his nephew.
And he saved his nephew's life. And, you know, I've been aware of this, but I didn't know the whole story until this Men's Health came out, but I watched that episode 4, I think it was, or 3 that just came out the other night. And there's one scene where he has to run down an alley and you could see a little bit as he ran down that alley that it looks a little bit painful. Like it didn't look natural on him. And he in this series, he's a tough guy. He's a fixer. He gets in a lot of violent situations.
Beats a lot
I'm
of
sure
ass,
it's going to be challenging for him as an actor to do it, but he's great in it. If you haven't seen it yet, highly recommend that. That show.
Crazy story. And again, I don't follow the national news that much, and you know, I certainly don't follow Hollywood and all that, but the mad respect for that dude, man. And look, I really do like the fucking show. It's different and it's good. And yeah, I thought it was going to be in the first season when what's his name from Friday Night Lights was his brother. That was the mayor.
Right. Yeah. You know,
I can't remember his name. This cat's going to be
the actor's name, but
he's like one of my favorites. And I thought
my wife loves him.
He's the mayor of Kingstown and that other fuck. He gets killed. Right. But yeah, great. Good show. You know, different than it. Anybody else is doing, but Taylor Sheridan just doesn't make any bullshit. Yeah, he's just is a fucking genius. Did you see his show about the horse cutting, the horse riding where they ride a horse out in a thing and they have to make them stop and do certain spins and all that shit. Taylor Sheridan, he's actually in Yellowstone when they do the horse riding scenes in The New Kid and all that. Okay, so that's him. And he started the association, but he's like, fuck this. This is a real competition. So he put up $1 million for people to get to Vegas. They have to qualify throughout the year to get to Vegas to do this contest. And he's a judge of it. And he's the commentator and everything else. Taylor Sheridan is, I can't remember the name. I'll get it for y'all, but it's fucking good. You need to go watch it. And it's a reality series with all these different riders and he's in it and all that. So
I'll have to find it. He does Mayor of Kingstown with Antoine Fuqua, who is notorious in Hollywood as being, you know, very difficult to work with, but a genius. And he's done a bunch of great movies over time.
But probably the least, just, I mean, it's still interesting. But, what's the one about Tulsa with Stallone? Whatever it is that. I think it may be called Tulsa, whatever it is. Sylvester Stallone's a convict that gets out of prison.
Tulsa's in the name, but
they ship him to fucking Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he takes over a weed shop and all kinds of stuff. That's pretty good. But of course, all the Yellowstone series anything he's ever done. He's even got a couple movies that nobody knows about that. And I've looked them all up. Huge fan. So I didn't know that about
all the stuff is very well worth watching. And that, this fictitious town in Michigan that this that Mayor of Kingstown is set in.
It's got like five prisons in it. Yeah.
It's actually an abandoned prison town outside of Toronto where they shoot that.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So all of that, think about that whole area they show us. It all was built around a prison that is now abandoned in outside of Toronto where they shoot all of that, which makes a lot of sense because it very much duplicates the sort of look of Michigan, the weather of Michigan, et cetera. So encourage you guys to look at that. Well, Woody.
All good.
It's been fun.
Another episode in of the WOW, and y'all please continue to like and share, leave us a review if you're so inclined, and we don't care if it's 1 star or 5 star, all the good podcasts are shit, but we really do appreciate y'all. The numbers don't lie. The show is a success, and it's because y'all are listening. Evidently, Ago was right. There's a certain amount of people that want to hear him talk about stupid shit that I don't like. But I do have opinions on stuff. I just not on the true crime show. So,
Some of the stupid shit's growing on you a little bit, and some of it's not so stupid. Yeah. So
it's pretty cool.
Good luck to the candidates tonight. We'll see how that one ends up. Thanks to our pals, Roy, Kristen, and Kristen.
And y'all make sure to tune in for Monday's episode. We're going to end each one of Monday's episode with me telling Ago what I think about Sandusky. What are we naming the
segment is called Nittany Lying.
Okay. All right. And so we every Monday show, now you're going to get your crime or your regular stories first, and then we're going to end it with Nittany Lying. I guess it's a play on words, like from their mascot and shit. And of course you believe that he's innocent. So y'all tune into that and we'll have discussions. Soon. All right. What if I change your mind totally, bro? And you're like, fuck, I wasted all my time on this.
Dude, I'd have to take myself out. If you were able to do that, I'd just take a walk right now to the Mississippi River and dump myself in it. So you're not going to do that, though.
All right. Well, we love each and every one of y'all. Thank you for tuning in.
Thanks, folks.
Yeah. See you on Monday. Peace. Cause that's how I end everything. Right.
Right. See you.
Peace.